John 10 is our text again this morning. We want to meditate again this morning upon the shepherd and the sheep. This is one of the most precious passages in all the Bible. Because in this chapter, the passage and the preacher, the text and the teacher are one and the same. The Lord is teaching about himself, the shepherd. The Lord is teaching about his flock, his people. Here in John 10, Jesus is describing himself. In fact, literally in John 10, God is talking about God. And we get to listen in on the conversation. We get to listen in on what God has said. Now, we meditated last Sunday morning on the door of the sheep. I remind you, there's just one door. He's not one of many doors. He's not a door. He's the one and only door of the sheep. And you know about the door this morning. You know the name of the door. You can be near the door. You can stand with your toes touching the threshold of the door. You can kiss the door. But unless you come through the door by faith and repentance, you'll never be saved. But all who enter into the door are saved. They have life. All who enter into the door are satisfied. They have life more abundant. All who enter into the door are sheep. Oh my. Under the care of the shepherd. I'm just going to read one verse this morning, John 10, verse 11. I want to magnify for a moment or two the devotion of the shepherd. The devotion of the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a claim our Lord makes. In fact, the only one that can make this claim is God himself. This is one of the I am statements of God. Seven of them. Seven, perfection, completeness. Seven here in the Gospel of John. He says over in chapter 6, he says, I'm the bread of life. If you're hungry this morning, it's bread. He says, I'm the light of the world. If you're in darkness, you can come to the light, amen, and get out of the darkness. He says, I'm the door that we looked at last Sunday morning. He says here this morning, I am the good shepherd. And to claim these claims here, that I'm the door, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the resurrection and the life, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. To make these claims is to claim to be God. And that's why that religious crowd got so sideways. That's why the religious crowd, it drove them crazy when our Lord stood up and preached for him. He claimed to be God, for that's exactly who he is. Oh, man. In fact, they say, remember we looked at it last Sunday morning, they say he's crazy. They say he's mad. They say he's demon-possessed. They're ready to pick up stones and stone the Lord. For he is the door of the sheep. He is the good shepherd. Now, this is an exclusive door. There's one and only door. Well, this is not just an exclusive door. He makes this exclusive claim. He says, I am the good shepherd. A lot of shepherds, but none like him. He's the good shepherd. This claim says something about his character. This claim says something about his devotion, as I said, about who he is. In fact, literally, the way you would really read it, if you spoke Greek, if you wrote Greek, you would really speak it or write it this way. I'm the shepherd, the good one. Now, our King James translators put it in a way so we can understand it a little bit better. But it literally reads, the shepherd, the good one. I'm not the false one. I'm not like these thieves. I'm not like these robbers that he's been talking about in this passage. He says, I am the good one, the good and only one true shepherd. Oh, my. Now, when you and I think of good, there's all kinds of things that enter in our mind. We think of kind. We think of moral. We think of upright. Maybe nice. And those are all a part of a definition of one that's good or what is good. But that's not the word here. The word for good here goes far beyond being nice. The word for good here goes far beyond being moral. This is an all-encompassing word. The word good here literally has the idea of excellent. It's got the idea of pure. It's got the idea of true. Oh my. And Jesus says, I'm the excellent shepherd. I'm the true shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He's the shepherd above all other shepherds. He is the good shepherd. He's claiming to be God. He's telling us something about himself. Our Lord is talking about himself so that you and I know who our shepherd is, so you and I would know what our shepherd is like. Now, I want you to know, it rocks their world. Back in chapter 5, he's told them that he was greater than Moses. In chapter 8, he's told them he's greater than Abraham. And here in chapter 10, he's telling them he's greater than David. See, David's the greatest shepherd of Israel. Has ever known. The Jews thought of David as the greatest shepherd that ever drew breath. Well, I want you to know, for a long time that was true, but I want you to know that night in Bethlehem, when Mary had Mary's little lamb, the shepherd became a lamb, and the shepherd stepped into this world, and David's Lord and David's shepherd is the Lord himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. It tells us something. This claim tells us something about his character. This claim tells us something about his care. Oh my. Oh, his care is good. His character's good, but his care is good. Oh my, I'm not going to preach it this morning, but he leads out a dead religion. He leads out of dead churches. He leads out of deadness. He leads out of death. He leads into life. He leads into his fault. He leads into everything that's good. Why? He's the good shepherd. He leads, he guides, he provides. Oh my, why? He's the good shepherd. But right quick, I want you to note not just this claim. I want you to note the contrast. There is a contrast in this passage. Our Lord is setting up a contrast. There's a mixed multitude that's hearing this sermon for the first time. Some are goats and some are sheep. Many are false shepherds. Many are thieves. Many are robbers. That's that religious crowd that's standing around there. And again, I remind you from last Sunday, chapter 9 goes right into chapter 8 there. There's not a break in the conversation, in the confrontation, that's going on. There's that ex-blind beggar, and his mom and dad are standing around as well. And our Lord draws a contrast between himself, the good shepherd, and all these false shepherds that are running around claiming to be good. Now, there's a multitude of contrasts that I could draw your attention to this morning, but I just want to mention two. I just want to mention two this morning. Here in verse 12, we didn't read it. In verse 12, notice this contrast. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd. hireling shepherd. He says, he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf toucheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Jesus says, hirelings flee. Hirelings flee. But shepherds fight. Shepherds protect their flock. Shepherds protect their sheep. Oh my, here's a contrast. Don't miss it. The false shepherds, the hirelings of the world, they flee at the first sign of trouble. They run in the opposite direction. But the good shepherd runs to. The good shepherd comes to his flock, comes to his sheep in a time of trouble. The hireling sees the wolf and flees. They see a wolf and they flee. Best I can tell, they just have to hear a lion or a bear to flee. Or a wolf will put them on the run, but they just have to hear a roar of a lion had to take tail and run. Why? They're hirelings. They don't care for the flock. They don't care for the sheep. Now, David was a tremendous shepherd. In fact, listen to David's own testimony unto Saul. He says, when I was a youth there, I kept my father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock and ran away? No, that's what hirelings do. No, hirelings run away. He says, I went after him. Not just the lamb. Hey, are you getting that? He's going after the lion. He's going after the bear. Oh my, that's what true shepherds do. That's what good shepherds do. They don't flee, no, they fight. They protect their own. In fact, listen to Amos 3. Oh my, listen to Amos 3:12. He says, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear. Sometimes lions do get lambs. Sometimes lions do get sheep. But the sheep doesn't say, well, I lost that one. Hated to lose that one. No, no, no. Even while the lion has the lamb, even while the lion has the sheep, the shepherd comes to the rescue. And if he can't even rescue, the shepherd won't even let a lion have the carcass of a lamb. The shepherd won't even let a lion have an ear, have a leg. Oh my wife, he's the good shepherd that doesn't flee. No, he fights for the flock. Hey, I want to tell you, that's my story. I was in the mouth of a roaring lion. I was getting gnawed on. I was getting chewed on. But the good shepherd came to where I was and dealt with the lion and delivered me. Oh my, that's the contrast. That's the contrast. Hirelings flee. Oh my, but look here. Secondly, Shepherds find. Now he says, and I'll deal with it later. He says in this context, he says, verse 16, he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. He says, there's some other sheep that I'm going to bring. There's some other sheep I'm going to find. But it's on the same page in my Bible. I don't know if it is in yours or not. But in that ninth chapter, our Lord has healed that blind beggar. He's now just an blind man. Oh my. In fact, he's an ex-blind beggar. Because once you know the shepherd, you don't have to beg. Once you know him, you don't have to beg. You're a child of the king. But listen, that religious crowd, when that man doesn't deny Christ, when that man refuses to deny Christ, they cast him out. They put him out and shut the door. No problem. No problem. He's done met the door. He's about to go through the door. Oh my. And the Lord comes and finds him. Look here. Verse 35, chapter 9. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he found him. Hey, that's what shepherds do. Shepherds seek. Shepherds find. And the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to be the door of the sheep, the door of those that are lost. And if you're lost this morning, you can come to the door. The door's open if you'll come by faith and repentance, and he'll receive you unto himself. That's not what the hirelings do. They shut you out. They throw you out. Oh my, oh my, but he's not a hireling. He's the good shepherd. Oh my. In fact, he searches for folks nobody else searches for. He looks for folks everybody else looks over. He wants folks nobody else wants. Oh yeah, I know, because he wanted me and he sought me and he found me. Why? He's the good shepherd. But what I really want to magnify this morning is this commitment of this shepherd. The devotion, the commitment of this shepherd. Five, as you know, is the number of grace. And five times in this chapter. I mean, you really, really, really would think God wrote the Bible. Five times Christ says, Christ declares, I lay down my life. Hey, that's commitment. Why? He's not a hireling. The hirelings aren't committed to the sheep. The hirelings are just committed to themselves. But the Lord came, committed unto you and committed unto me. Oh my. And he said, I came that I might lay my life down. What's the text say? He says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Doesn't send a servant to find the sheep, goes himself. Doesn't send a servant to die for the sheep, dies himself. Oh my, could have sent an angel, but he came himself. Oh my, died for you and me. Why? He's the good shepherd. He giveth his life for the sheep. That's verse 11, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Here it is again. I laid down my life for the sheep. Verse 17. I laid down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down. I'm a sheep. He's the good shepherd. He giveth his life for the sheep. Oh my. That's commitment. That's devotion. Oh my. He giveth his life for the sheep. Now look here. I remind you, this is Christ talking about himself. This is God talking about God. This is Christ talking about his own death for the sheep. Well, what's he saying when he says that I lay down my life? Oh man, he's saying it's a voluntary death. You talk about a good shepherd. This good shepherd hasn't been hired. This good shepherd isn't being paid. This good shepherd isn't being forced. No, he freely, of his own free will and own free choice, came to live and die for you and me. He came to lay his life down. Nobody took it. No, no, no. He gave his life for you and for me. It's a voluntary death that the shepherd died For the sheep, it's a voluntary death. It's a substitutionary death. Notice the text. Notice the claim. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for in the place of, instead of. Oh, he's pictured in Genesis 22. I remember Isaac said, hey, daddy, you got the knife. Hey, daddy, we got the wood. We got the fire. But where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said it right, because Abraham had already seen the day of the Lord and said, my son, God will provide. God will provide himself. A sacrifice, oh my, why Christ would come to die in our stead, in our place, just like that ram caught in the thicket by its horns, by its power, oh my, became that substitute. That ram voluntarily submitted, oh my, Christ came and voluntarily submitted for you and for me. Now I want you to know, this is why he's the good shepherd. Because until this moment, sheep died for shepherds. Sheep died for their shepherds. But at this moment, the shepherd dies for the sheep. All those lambs, all those sheep throughout the Old Testament, they died for their master. They died for their shepherd. But oh my, the good shepherd, yea, the great shepherd, yea, the chief shepherd came and became a lamb, and the shepherd died for the sheep. Oh, no wonder he says, I am the good shepherd. He died for you. He died for me. Oh my, it's his commitment. It's his commitment. Oh my, no wonder John said, behold the Lamb of God. This shepherd becomes a lamb that he might die in our place. Notice the claim now. Now a lot of people, I know a lot of preachers that won't preach this. I know a lot that say, don't magnify this. How dumb. These are his own words. Notice what he says. And just let the Bible be the Bible. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Not for the goats, for the sheep. In fact, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I think I got this much figured out. Somebody that objects to this claim, somebody that objects to this statement, they must not be a sheep. They must be a goat. Because if you're a sheep and hear what the shepherd's done for you, it'll thrill your heart and thrill your soul. And the Lord said, I give my life for the sheep. For the sheep. It's a voluntary death. It's a substitutionary death. But look here. It's a specific death. He died for the sheep. He did not die for the goats. Christ died for the sheep. Christ died for the bride. Christ died for the church. With his own blood, he hath purchased us. And there, remember when Paul records the words of our Lord, the husband, husbands, loves your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, gave himself for her. Who did he give himself for? For the sheep, for the bride, for the church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hear me this morning. He calls his sheep. He calls them and only them. It's not my claim. It's not my claim. But he dies for them and only them. Now hear me this morning. This chapter is not about evangelism. We're to proclaim the gospel to the entire world. We're to proclaim the gospel that Jesus says. We're to proclaim the gospel, whosoever will may come. That is the good news of the call of the gospel. But hallelujah, I'm glad his call gets more specific than that. I'm glad he knows my name and calls me by name. And he calls his sheep unto himself because he died for his sheep. Oh, blessed be the name of God today that he died for me. Oh my, it's a specific death. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It's a victorious death. He says, I lay it down, I lay my life down, and I pick it up again. They never been, no shepherd ever been able to do that before. They've been some shepherds that were true shepherds. Oh, they were true shepherds. Humanly speaking, they were even good shepherds as far as a man was concerned. And they've battled lions and battled bears and were defeated. It's not just that they didn't rescue their own lamb. They themselves, were defeated. Oh my, they themselves lost their life. But oh my, this is the good shepherd. This is the great shepherd. This is the chief shepherd. This is the shepherd above all shepherds, the preeminent one. He lays down his life, but he picks it up again in victory over hell, over death, over the grave, over the lion, over all the enemies. Why? He's the good shepherd that victoriously dies for the sheep. Oh my, it's a victorious death. Because he's able to take it up again. But look here. It's a victorious death because he finds every sheep that is his. He purchases his sheep. He doesn't buy goats, but he purchases sheep. And never has he, never ever will, the shepherd, the Savior, turn to the Father and say, Father, I tried to find him, but I couldn't find him. Father, I tried to purchase him. I couldn't purchase them. Father, I did my best, but I failed. Father, I tried to draw them, but they just wouldn't come. I tried to bring them in, but they just wouldn't come. I'm sorry, Father, I failed. No, never. Why? He's the victorious Lamb of God that dies for his sheep and brings every lamb home. That's commitment. That's commitment. He'll hunt for one as if he were hunting for 10 or 100. Oh my, he's committed. He's committed. He's committed. I close with this. I'm just going to touch on the thought of it. I want you to know this devotion of the shepherd, it's not just seen in his commitment to die. It's seen in his commitment to call. The call of the shepherd. Now I'm going to look at it in detail probably next Sunday, Lord willing. But hear me this morning. He calls his sheep by name. He calls his sheep by name because he knows every one of them. I've been here, what, going on 3 years? I'm still working at names. If I don't know your name, I can't call it. I gotta ask Sharon, who was that? Who is that? You can't call a name you don't know. There's not one name of his flock he don't know. There's not one sheep he's got to say to the Holy Ghost, what's their name? There's not one sheep he has to say to the Father, what's their name? No, calls every sheep by name. And hear me this morning. His sheep, it's not that his sheep are lost out in the world. He knows where every lamb is. He knows where every sheep is. He's drawn them. He's committed to bring them to the flock of God. But he just doesn't know us out in the world. He knows us in the flock. It's not just that we lost out in the world. We're not lost within the flock. Now, he can look at all the flock at the same time and see all the flock, but guess what? He can look at me at the same time. And he can look at you while he's looking at me. He sees us and he knows every place. One of us, oh my, knows every lamb, knows every sheep. And if you're here this morning, if you're here this morning and you're one of his, don't forget he knows. Don't forget he cares. Oh, don't forget, he's no match for the lion that's a roaring, seeking whom he may devour. The lion that roars and seeketh whom he may devour. Why, that lion's no match for the shepherd. Hey, that bear, hey, that wolf that wants to raise up his head, that poisonous serpent that may want to bite and nip at the heels of those little lambs. No, none of them are a match for the shepherd, for he knows and he calls his sheep and he knows you and he knows where you're at this morning. Oh my, I'm talking about the commitment of the shepherd, the devotion of the shepherd. I say this in closing. Do you want green pastures? Would you be interested in some still water? Would you like somebody to walk with you through the valley? That's the deepest valley you'll ever walk through. Would you like to eat and grin at the enemies sitting at his table while the enemies are even in your presence? Would you like goodness and mercy to ever stay on your trail? Then you need this shepherd. You need this shepherd. Because only the good shepherd, it's only this shepherd that can provide life and life more abundant, can provide salvation and satisfaction and security and all that you and I need. Oh my. Brother Brian, y'all come get ready to sing. I want to sing out of the red hymnal, Come Unto Me, number 44. Surely we know it. If we don't know it, we're going to learn it right now in a half a second. Sheep will not lay down. Sheep will not rest. If they are fearful, if they are thirsty, or if they're hungry. Any of them three things going on. If they're afraid, they will not lay down. If they're hungry, if they're thirsty, they will not lay down. They will not lay down. And you know what meets all three of those needs? It's a person. It's the shepherd. Because when the shepherd's on duty, when the shepherd is present, the enemy has to flee. And he provides because he is the bread of life and he is the water of life. And his presence makes all the difference in the world. There's a door. There's a door of the sheep this morning. There's a door into his fold this morning. If you'll come by faith and repentance unto him, you can find rest. You can find the good shepherd. We're standing, altar's open. You need to do something, get at it as Brian leads us.
hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come, no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden.
That's not a hireling. That's not a. That's not what a hired hand says. That's not what a thief says. That's not what a robber says. That's what the good shepherd says. Come, come, come unto me. One more time. Lift it up. Sing unto the Lord. If he is running to you, why don't you run to him? If he's willing to move in your direction, why don't you move in his direction this morning? The context. They shoved that old ex-blind beggar out. Slammed the door and put it in his face. Saying, we don't want you, we don't care about you. But here the shepherd came. Drew him under himself. He had already given him physical side. He's about to give him spiritual side. Oh my. Thank God the shepherd came seeking. Thank God the shepherd came calling. If you're a sheep this morning, that ought to thrill your soul. If you're a sheep this morning, you can lay down. You can take a drink. You can take a bite of grass. You eat. All because of the good shepherd. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your presence. God, I don't know what somebody may be going through this morning. Lord, the roaring lion, hell, the devil himself may be roaring. Lord, the devil may be gnawing on somebody this morning. God, I'm glad you can deliver. I'm glad, Lord, you will deliver your sheep, your lamb, your flock. Lord, I'm glad the door's open if we will but come. If one will but come unto you, O God, by faith, O Lord. You'll in no wise can. Lord, you don't shut doors in the face of sheep. You open it wide and draw them inside. I pray you do it around here for some boys and girls, for some adults under the sound of my voice, O God, as well. Thank you, God. You are the good shepherd. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Shake hands, you go. You're liberty if you're a sheep.